Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. You know that's your hometown radio station right there in Madison and North Florida, but it's also your radio station if you're listening by computer anywhere in the United States of America, anywhere in the world. Praise God. And if you have downloaded this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we welcome you today. And as we gather around the Word of God, I believe the Lord is going to speak to us, and He's going to give us counsel from His Word, comfort by His Spirit, hallelujah. And He's going to cause you and I to be able to not only stand in this last day, but to work for Him and be a witness unto Him. Praise God. Amen. I believe God wants to strengthen me and you today, brother and sister, in our inward man, that we might be able, through that He accomplishes in us, to allow Him to accomplish through us. Praise God. So we're going to do a great message in just a moment. We're going to be talking about all sufficient in God's sufficiency. Amen. That's not self-confidence, self-promotion. It is not self-sufficiency, but we are confident in His sufficiency in us. Praise God. Amen. And we want to be able to be bold for Jesus even in these last days. You know, the Bible said the reason this message is so crucial to people living at this particular time here on this planet, this place and time, we are in the kingdom for a time such as this, this outrageous hour, this dangerous hour that we're living in. If we try to live this out in the strength of our own flesh and not in the power of the Holy Spirit, I want you to know we're no match for the things that are occurring. It's going to affect us. It's going to infect us if we allow it. But God wants to keep us and use us. I am convinced more every day of my life that I and every other child of God, amen, not because I'm a preacher, because I'm His child, hallelujah, that we are in the kingdom for such a time as this. Praise God. And we need this message of how to be confident in God's sufficiency within us. That is not self-confidence. It is confidence in Him, but it makes us bold and confident in His sufficiency, not our own. Praise God. That sounds a little confusing. We want to make it very clear and very plain through the Word of God. Amen. And if you're not a Christian today, we'd like you to join us as we gather around the Word of God this afternoon. Please be our special guest. You know, you can come to know Jesus before this broadcast is over. You can have the grace and peace that you need to cope with whatever you're facing within your life. The moment you are reconciled to God through what Jesus has done at the cross, and you can be this very day, God can grant unto you what He's granting unto His church and His children. Amen. He will give you a sufficient grace, a wonderful overcoming power and presence that will get you through the toughest of times in this fallen world. Amen. And give you the assurance that Jesus is coming soon and we're going to live with Him forever. Praise God. Even death can't conquer our hope. Hallelujah. So please stay tuned today. Amen. I'm going to give you our website real quickly before I give you the scripture to turn to. If you'd like to come to our website to download any of the recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus, there is 40 years of pastoring here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates. There's over 1,300 sermons available. But the easiest and to download and the context that's easiest to listen to is the Let's Talk About Jesus broadcast. They're right up front on our webpage. So if you type in THCOG. You don't have to worry about the .com or .org. Just THCOG. That stands for The Holy Church of God in Tampa, Florida. Amen. But type in THCOG and Google it, as they say. Amen. On that big search engine, it'll take you directly to the Holy Church of God, Tampa, Florida, and everything is free. There's no strings attached, and we'd love to have you come. In the last just 6 months or so, there's been over 1,200 hits on our website from all over the world, and wherever you are hearing this broadcast, we welcome you today. God bless you. God bless you, and God keep you. God prepare you for the coming of His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But until He comes, amen, He's got everything that we need to live as an upstream Christian in a downstream world. You know, the Bible said that in the last days, perilous times would come. And it speaks of all the things that men would become, that the culture would become as the light is resisted and the darkness is invited. Oh, friend, we're living in that time, and we're seeing and hearing things that are completely outrageous, and it is affecting every person on this planet. Amen. That word perilous means outrageous in the Greek, and it connotates the reducing of the strength. And there's a danger that as Christians that we begin to become weary and worn, and we lose our consecration and our commitment to follow Christ, and we're going against the wind, and many people seem to be compromising or giving up altogether. Friend of mine, this is no time to look back. Remember Lot's wife and the lesson of Lot's wife. We will teach on that in the very near future as God leads. But this is no time to look back, because if we look back, there's a danger that we might go back. Ah, but the scripture said we're not of them that turn back unto perdition, but we're of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Hallelujah. We need this strength that only God can give. That's why this message is so crucial to people living in these last of the last days, these outrageous, perilous times. Amen. We need the message that Paul is speaking. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is anointing for the church that's living in this culture and this time. And the message that we're bringing today is all sufficient in God's sufficiency. All sufficient in God's sufficiency. Our scripture to begin this teaching is right out of the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And here's what he said about himself and the other apostles that God had raised up. Amen. He said, "Not that we are sufficient as of anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Not that we think ourselves sufficient as of anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Hallelujah. Amen. Listen carefully today. The Apostle Paul wanted to make it very clear that though we are boldly proclaiming the gospel and we are standing in bold faith and we're seeing God move supernaturally, we want you to know that's not coming from our own sufficiency. We are deficient. Amen. We come to God to find what we need. We look to Him. We lean on Him. Everything that is accomplished through us is a result of His work within us and through us. Nothing of ourselves. We don't take the credit for it. We give God the glory for it. We're weak, but He is strong. You know, there's a song that had a lyric in it, "Let the weak say, I am strong." How can the weak say, "I am strong," and not be self-sufficient? Well, the Bible's going to tell us that today. The only way we can say that, and we can say that if you're a Christian, and you are holy, totally, leaning on Jesus and looking to God, hallelujah, and not your abilities, your ingenuity, and your personal energy. Even if you're a pastor in a pulpit and you've got the highest level of theological training and you are eloquent on top of that, amen, and you are personable and you're not an introvert, you're an extrovert, and people give you a hand clap when you preach because you preach so well. If you depend on that energy of your flesh and that ingenuity of your own mind and not the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you something. The job is too great. The enemy is too strong without God's direct, distinct help to get it done. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the presence and power of God. We need Jesus Christ, hallelujah, to stand with us and to move, hallelujah. We need God to do things in the human heart and soul that has been blinded and bound by Satan that only God can do. Amen. So we need this sufficiency in Him that lets us be just as bold, but not because of self-confidence, hallelujah, but confidence in what He offers us when we trust Him with everything we are and everything that we have. Amen. I want to read from Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Listen, the Apostle Paul said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then in verse 13, he sums it up. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Through Christ. See, it's all sufficient, but it's in His sufficiency. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Matthew Henry comments on this. Christ, which strengthens me, denotes a present and continued act. Not a one-time event, but a continual, day-to-day, moment-to-moment experience. Hallelujah. Oh, listen, once again, amen. It's a present and continued act. Not a one-time event, continual, day-to-day, moment-to-moment. One paraphrase says, "I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency." Praise God. Amen. Self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Not self-confident in my abilities and my ingenuity and my own energy of my flesh, no matter how highly honed it is. Friend of mine, I want you to know right now, you may be able to be so personable and persuasive that you can add numbers to your church, but you can't add one soul to the kingdom of God unless the Holy Spirit does a work, and we need to lean on Him and look to Him for that mighty work. You know what? The Bible said what Jesus taught in the New Covenant, "No man comes to me. No man comes to me. Except my Father draw him." Oh, when Spurgeon had that great church, and we've talked about this before, but I just feel it so strong today. When Spurgeon had the first mega church, if you please, in London, England, and it wasn't just growing with Christians who loved to hear him preach. When he preached, people were coming to know Jesus, and other preachers and evangelists and missionaries wanted to know the secret of that church. They wanted to know how he could preach a sermon, and they could use the same scripture and delivery, but it didn't produce the same results. C.C.A. Spurgeon knew something about preaching, and he knew something about leaning on our ability, our ingenuity, our energy, and he said these words, "I'd rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. In other words, he wanted every preacher to recognize that no matter how well trained we are, we need the Holy Spirit. We need God to move in the hearts of men and women. Praise God. And C.H. Spurgeon knew that without praying, and through that prayer expressing a dependency on the Lord and His might and His strength, he knew that he was inadequate within himself. But he preached with a boldness because he also knew that he was all sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Praise God. I believe C.H. Spurgeon would be the first one to tell you, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengtheneth me. And he'd be the very first one to also tell you that I can't do anything in my own power, in my own strength. Praise God. I'm so glad for Jesus today. I am so glad that the Holy Spirit has come. I am so glad that He is here right now. Amen. Self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency does not mean self-confidence apart from Jesus Christ, but rather a confidence that His provision for us is adequate for anything that we might encounter. Praise God. I'm going to say that again. Self-sufficiency in Christ's sufficiency does not mean self-confidence apart from Jesus Christ, but rather a confidence and a boldness that His provision for us is adequate for anything that we encounter. Praise God. We have confidence because our sufficiency is truly of God. We take courage because He is our strength. Now, there are three pillars of support that constitute this strength in the Word of God, that without these pillars of support, amen, here's what we might end up saying, amen. Behold, I stand. Behold, I stand. Listen to me carefully. When anyone says that in their heart or with their mouth, because it's coming from an attitude and an atmosphere of the heart. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And when a man says, the Scripture declares, behold, I stand, he better take heed. He's in a precarious place. He's in a dangerous place. He's feeling so confident in himself, but he's not confident in God's sufficiency in himself. He's not confident in the grace that has sustained him, that saved him, but in his own abilities. Listen carefully. Mark that man. It may take years before that man or woman falls, but the fall is coming. The Bible said when a man gets that attitude, he better get it fixed. He'd better get that worked on. Listen to me very carefully. It's the tendency of our flesh to promote itself instead of Jesus Christ, to touch the glory that it should be God's and God's alone. That's why we need and we must have, it's crucial that we have these three pillars of support and we don't let one of them go. And number one is sufficient grace. Number one is sufficient grace. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul had been worn down by an emissary sent from Satan to buffet him. He had prayed three times that God remove it, and God had not removed it, but gave him sufficient grace that he would be sufficient in his sufficiency and not sufficient in his anointing, not sufficient in his revelations, not sufficient in his preaching success, not sufficient in the miracles that he saw as he preached, but sufficient in what God had given him to sustain him, and sufficient in a sufficient grace. Hallelujah. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul said, now that I understand what you're saying to me, what you're doing within me, what you're offering me, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Ah, when God said, my grace, those words involved omnipotence, omniscience, the possession of all divine resources, the perfect knowledge of all human need, the perpetual presence of Christ everywhere with His people. His grace is exhaustless. I get exhausted often, but His grace is exhaustless, absolutely adequate, infallibly unfailing. Hallelujah. The promise of His presence and power gave Paul courage and confidence no matter what he faced. Paul declared that it was his acknowledgement of his weakness in and of himself that qualified him for Christ's power to rest upon him. Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Acknowledging our weakness and looking to Jesus will qualify us for His strength, because Paul said in that same scripture, for when I am weak, he said in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 12, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I made strong. 2 Corinthians 12:10. For when I am weak, once again, then am I made strong. Praise God. So the first thing God offers us is sufficient grace. But the only way to qualify for that sufficiency of grace is to acknowledge that we in and of ourselves, amen, we in and of ourselves are not adequate. We are not sufficient. We do not have what we need. It's only through Christ. So when the victory comes, and it will come, make no mistake about it, we don't touch or take the glory for it. We give the glory to God. You know, when Paul started his letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you know what he said to them in the new covenant? He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble that we experienced in Asia, how that we were pressed beyond measure and despaired of life itself, that we might learn not to trust in ourselves. Hallelujah. But God who raises the dead. See, the only people that qualify for this sufficiency of grace are the people that come to an end of themselves, but instead of becoming discouraged and despairing, they look to God with everything that's in them, and God supplies whatever is needed to sustain us through that trial, that test, that pressure cooker. I want you to know today, if you are in that crucible of testing right now, or temptation, or persecution, whatever it is that you are facing, threatening to cause you to be discouraged and despairing, God, He's offering you the first pillar of support. You are in a place that you qualify for this grace if you will look to God and not to yourself right now in this very moment that we are speaking to you. Praise God, because His presence will come to you in a way unique to you that will supply what you need to face what you are facing, that you might be able to say, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. You know, the Bible said in that wonderful faith chapter in the book of Hebrews, praise God, amen, it said that out of weakness, through faith, out of weakness, they were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and put the armies of the aliens to flight. God took a weak one and supplied him with everything necessary to overcome the mighty ones and the strong ones. Let the weak say. If you are experiencing that grace, let the weak say, I am strong. That's exactly what Paul was saying. If weakening me and my confidence in myself and my flesh will qualify me for this strength when I look to him, then I'm going to take pleasure in what weakens me, because he's going to strengthen me. Praise God. And I'm going to come through it. And I'm not going to come through beleaguered and beaten. I'm going to come through it, praise God, with victory in my heart and in my mouth. Praise God. I'm going to magnify the Lord. This test that I'm going through is going to turn into a testimony to God's faithfulness because of His amazing grace. Hallelujah. Amen. We have God's help because we have God's heart. We have God's help because we have God's heart. So He gives us sufficient grace, and He gives us supporting love. Ah, friend, our time is gone. I'd like to start this second pillar. Amen. And it is so vitally important. But we can't get it all into one broadcast. We can't exhaust grace and its place in our life, and we may not leave that theme. I don't want to go too quickly through all of this. I want you to be able, line upon line, precept upon precept, to get these principles down into your heart. When I am weak, friend, and I am on so much of the time, amen, then am I made strong. Today you can't save yourself. There's nothing you could do to save your own soul. But you can trust in a Savior that has paid the price for your salvation. Today you can't change yourself, but I'm here to tell you, God can change you. You can't change your destiny, but God can change your destination, praise God, and thereby change your destiny. You can't change, amen, your heart, but you can change your mind about the road you're on and invite Jesus in. Repent of your sin, and God will change your heart. As it is written, the Bible said He will take away the heart of stone. He'll replace it with a heart of flesh. And then He writes His law that was written on those stone tablets. He writes it on that heart of flesh. Praise God. And we begin to do by nature that was contained in the law. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can be born again today if you decide right where you are right now to look to Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And I pray in these closing moments of this broadcast today that you will look to Christ, that you will repent of your sin, that you will receive Him as your Lord and your personal Savior. You know, the Bible said in John's Gospel, chapter 1, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Ah, it doesn't start with you changing yourself. It starts with you changing your mind and saying, Lord, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to live down here without you either. I repent of every sin. I ask for your forgiveness. Jesus, I accept you and receive you as my Lord and Savior. Right now, right here, this very moment, this very day. And today, if you're a Christian, you are under the gun. You're an upstream Christian in a downstream world. Don't get discouraged. Don't despair because you feel overwhelmed. You're in the right place to qualify for the sufficiency of God's grace right where you are, right here, right now. I believe God's going to raise up an army that out of weakness they were made strong, wax valiant in fight, and put the armies of the aliens to flight. People just like you and just like me that need Him so desperately and look to Him so dependently. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't despair today. God loves you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Cry unto Him, and He will give you grace sufficient. Well, we love you today. Come back next week, and let's talk about Jesus.